verses from Psalms that I mentioned earlier, that I read earlier on, and looking at a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as well. So happy occasions, special occasions that we can celebrate. They're great, aren't they? And thanks to you for making that possible for us today. Thanks for giving us an opportunity to think about being filled with delight. And oh, look how handy that is. Fits in so well with the timing of our teaching series that we're working through on prayer, praying with delight. If you're joining us just for today, and you haven't been with us through the rest of our current teaching series, then it'll be helpful for you to understand that we've been thinking a lot about prayer in recent weeks, and particularly to remind ourselves how important prayer is to us in our Christian faith, and to encourage us to pray more consistently. Now, if you're part of a regular congregation, it's good for you to hear that reminder as well. This is what we've been doing, folks, okay? And you might be wondering, well, why is it that as a bunch of Christians, as a church, that you need this reminder about prayer? Surely prayer is something that you do readily and naturally and all the time, right? You'd kind of assume that, wouldn't you? Well, just like any other important discipline in our lives, it's easy to let things slip. And so we need a reminder and an encouragement to get back to it as fully and as faithfully as we once did. You know, as a church, we believe, don't we, that a culture of prayer, filtering through everything that we're trying to be and do, that's a key thing, a key ingredient to being a healthy and a vibrant community of God's people. Prayer gives us energy and enthusiasm. It enables us to delight in belonging to God and to each other. Prayer keeps us focused on the things that are important, the things that help us to grow together as God's people into all that he wants us to be and do, in what we're already doing and all that is yet to come. But that's not all. You know, it's not just about us having this nice, cozy, comfortable, stuck in our building mentality of and prayers holding all of that together. Through God's word, through listening to God in prayer, as well as praying to him ourselves, it's about being enabled to live as his people in the world around us and serve the community around us as well. Where you see the words on the screen, "and when you pray," those are the words of Jesus. And his expectation wasn't, "Oh, just by the way, if you have a spare 5 minutes every now and then, you might want to think about praying." That's not what Jesus said. And nowhere in the Bible is prayer referred to in that way. Jesus' words are very clear. "And when you pray," there's a huge expectation that prayer will be that natural thing, that thing that we do so readily and so consistently in our daily lives. Do you know, I'm okay with prayer up to that, on all of that, the way I've just explained it. I understand as a Christian that prayer keeps my relationship with God alive. I'm even okay with the words I read from Psalm 95 earlier on. Let me repeat some of those to you. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." I mean, that's referring to our sung worship. But as the psalm carries on, it was also reflecting on our prayer lives as well. You know, I'm even still okay with Psalm 136. I'll read the first three verses to you. It says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And then that psalm carries on with another 23 verses in the same way. A statement is made and the response is, "His love endures forever." You know, I truly, wholeheartedly believe in those words and try to live them out in my life. But let me be honest with you as well, because if you look closely at Psalm 136, there's some things that are said in there that I start to struggle with a bit more. You see, in that psalm, it talks about things that are a time of struggle, a time of pain, and it still says his love endures forever. That's not always as easy to do, is it? Do we always feel that the situation we're in is filling us with great joy and delight and thanksgiving, and we're wanting to say, yes, thank you, Lord, for this. Your love endures forever. Is that always what life is like? If we go to, then if I go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you here, then perhaps our struggle goes a little bit deeper. It says here, be joyful always. Let me say that again. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Really? Really? Is this how real life really works? Be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. How? How do we do that? And I also want to ask, like, why should we do that? Those are things that we're going to focus on this morning. And I just want to say two things about these verses. First of all, whatever our circumstances, whatever the situation that we're in, the relationship that we have with God through Jesus never changes. And so delight and thanksgiving are always still possible. Might not be easy, but always still possible. So let's think about that first of all, about being secure in relationship. What do we mean by that? Well, we've already focused this morning, haven't we, on the importance of relationship, especially parent to child. So let's do that, just carry on with that a little bit longer. Just I want to acknowledge that the gift of a child is a special thing, Hannah. There's the picture I said. Do you know, and then as our children kept arriving, you know, the delight is still there, isn't it? The gift of a child is a special thing, gives an importance and a purpose in life somehow. The birth of a child fills us with delight. That may take a little while sometimes, whilst you are adjusting to this random new sleep-deprived way of living. But generally, the direction is towards delight. So hold on to that idea for a moment and hold them up against these words again from 1 Thessalonians. Be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Maybe that's a little bit of a different focus, isn't it? Can I just assure you that none of these children are our own children? I can prove that to you. It's quite simple to do that. They're still alive. They may not have been had. That first image was a tin of white paint spilt all over the lounge carpet. But now our kids are still alive. You know, our emotions of blessing and delight in life are challenged by so many different things, aren't they? You know, I don't just mean about parenting now and where that involves small children, but our focus on blessing and delight in life is challenged by so many different things. That might be focused on family or a relationship. It might be focused on a job or some sense of achievement, even something that we own. But then so many different things can change the way we feel in a heartbeat, can't they? I'm sure if we had time this morning, I asked you all to give an example from your own life of where something has shifted dramatically from joy and delight into some other emotion, then we could all come up with something. So what do we do then? So we walk into a room and we see utter carnage where once was all peaceful and calm and lovely. What do we do then? When it feels like our whole world has come crashing down around us, what do we do then? When the doctor gives us news that we weren't ready for, what do we do then? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5 encourages us to be joyful always and to give thanks in all circumstances. Well, how can we do that? You know, our response will depend so much on how secure we are in relationship. I'm focusing on how secure we are in our relationship with God through Jesus. I'll say more about that in a bit, but first of all, let's add the need for us to think about how we search for delight and thanksgiving. Sometimes it's just there in front of us. Other times we have to go searching for it. In Luke's and Matthew's Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament, we can read a parable, the story that Jesus told to make a point, the parable of the lost sheep. And in the Bible, it reads so beautifully and so calmly and so easily. It goes something like the shepherd has been counting his sheep back into the fold and everything's going well and he's counting nicely. Everything's nice and peaceful. And he gets to 99, one's missing. And we carry on reading, and it calmly says, well, he goes off and has a search for this lost sheep and finds it and brings it back and is rejoicing, and all is good. It reads so easily and so calmly. But I wonder if it would have been actually the scene for that shepherd might have felt a little bit different. Perhaps it would have been more like this. Well, it's the end of a long, hot day. He's exhausted. He just wants to sit down and get the sheep put away for the night and have a rest. So he's there. He's counting the sheep back in. 97, 98, 99. Where's the other one gone? There's one missing. What do I do now? I'm panicking. Panicking isn't working. Oh, I better go off and find the other one. But what about these 99 that I'm leaving over here? Are they all going to be safe? Well, I've got to go and search. I'm searching. I can't find this lost sheep. Hold on a minute. What's that noise over there? Oh, there she is. Right, let's grab her quickly. What about the other 99? I better get back to them. I wonder if that's how the shepherd would have really been feeling. And, you know, use a bit of poetic license there, because the Bible doesn't express it like that. But our lives aren't always nice and neat and ordered and calm and peaceful, are they? Praying with delight and thanksgiving is not easy when things are not the way we wanted them to be. But listen, it doesn't mean that we should give up. I'm going to watch a video clip together. I know some of you have seen this before, but we're going to watch a video clip together. What I want you to do is notice what's going on in the man's life in each scene and notice how he responds each time. So if we can put this on, please. As I said before, I know some of you have seen that before, and perhaps some of you are looking at it for the first time and realizing how weird and freaky it would be to be followed around by a chair all day. But that's not the point of that video clip, is it? And the point is that in each scene that you saw there in that man's life, he manages to pause and sit in that chair and give thanks to God, even in the midst of whatever it is that is going on. He seems in a rush at the breakfast table, then remembers his children are there too. He's frustrated at work. He's visiting the grave of a loved one. And each time along the way, he's pausing to give thanks to God in his own way. And did you notice in that last scene with the little girl, he's there, he's passing on, he's teaching that child to have that same way through life. Be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I don't know about you, but this does not come easily to me. I have to work at it. And to find something, some way of being able to live out those words, be joyful always, give thanks in all circumstances. And sometimes my reality, and probably it's the same for you as well, is, you know, we're in the midst of a scenario where if that random chair has followed us around, we'd sooner turn around and smash it to pieces than we would want to sit in it and give thanks. You see a few nods going on. You know, it's costly to be able to find a way of giving thanks in all circumstances, to pray with delight whatever is going on, and to be able to find something that comes close to being about delight and thanksgiving when we're feeling knocked down. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of searching on a whole heap of being secure in our relationship with Jesus and with each other. You know, I had to learn how to do this when in the midst of my own despair and darkness just over 5 years ago, the news from the doctor was not what I wanted to hear. It wasn't a time of joy and thanksgiving. I was frightened and I was angry. But then slowly and gradually managed to find that way of being able to give thanks each day, at the end of each day, to be able to pause before I went to sleep and give thanks to God for at least one thing in my life that day. And some days it was really hard. But you know, the thing that was made the difference for me came back to my faith, that security of relationship that enabled me to search and find a place of delight and thanksgiving. Listen, you're hearing that said by a Christian minister, but please hear what I said before. It's not easy. Just because I'm a Christian minister doesn't mean I've got some special power that enables that to happen differently for anybody else. You know, in all of the Bible passages that I've referred to this morning, in the Psalms, in 1 Thessalonians, in Luke, the security of relationship is always in the same place. It's always focused on the same person. It's always there focused on Jesus. You know, God's way of assuring us that his love endures forever is there in what he shows us through Jesus. When we carefully study the Bible and what it tells us about Jesus, then we'll easily discover that being the Son of God didn't give Jesus an automatic right to everything in his life being easy, did it? Yet through all the pain and the suffering and the rejection, all the persecution that led him being nailed to a cross and dying as an innocent man, the relationship with his Father never changed. And when Jesus rose to new life, he proved that the love God had for him and God has for all people never changes. The relationship never changes. And then when we can see that in our own lives, when we can hold on to it for ourselves, then suddenly the thought of searching for something that will put thanksgiving and delight back into our lives is suddenly made possible. We can be secure in our relationship with God because of Jesus. So let me encourage you to think about that for yourselves. Think about how that works in your life. Let it be the thing that even in the midst of the greatest and the deepest despair, that you can learn how to cling to and to know that nothing and nobody will ever take that away from you. One of our songs earlier declared that we will always say, Lord, blessed be your name. Whether all as it should be, or we're in a place of struggle and pain. You know, choosing to be able to do that is our response of thanksgiving and delight to the one that holds us come what may. It's our response of thankfulness to Jesus, who is like that shepherd to us. He'll keep searching. He'll keep searching until he finds us and bring us back close to him to heal us, to restore us and to renew us. How can we be joyful always? Well, being secure in our relationship with Jesus is our starting point every time. And why should we give thanks in all circumstances? Well, that's our prayer-filled response to Jesus for all that he's done for us. Our prayer-filled response of delight that comes from knowing that no matter what else is going on around us, that Jesus is always there holding us and longing to bless us.